This is Off Planet Radio.
My guest worked for the State Department of the United States for 18 years as a translator and interpreter. He was an interpreter for Presidents George W. Bush and William Clinton, their vice presidents and secretaries of state. He is a translator of the Indonesian language. In 2004, he left that position, and I'll let him explain the details behind that. What he brings to the table is kind of an insider view, but really a view of somebody who has transitioned from the traditional viewpoints of the conformist reality into understanding that this world doesn't operate quite the way we all thought it did when we were children. Fred Burks, welcome to Off Planet Radio, my friend.
Thanks, Randy, and thanks to all of our listeners. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you on. I left some holes in the details of your background in terms of the State Department and where you came from in that regard. You actually have an interesting history in terms of how you came to be a translator for the State Department, and I think that's part of your spiritual journey as well.
Yeah, it was actually pretty wild. Nobody in my family had ever done any real travels overseas or anything, and I went off to college, and I really started getting frustrated with the college system, and it was just not working for me. And a friend basically dragged me against my will to go to this meeting that he said would change his life. That's the only reason I even went with him, because he said, look, he was a really shy guy. Well, was one of my sort of lived in the same apartment I lived in college. And only because I truly believed it might change his life, I decided I'd go with him to this meeting. In the end, the meeting was all about sending people over to Asia for a cultural experience. I was just absolutely turned on by this program, and it set me on fire, like, wow, this sounds fascinating. He never went to Japan, which is where he wanted, and the people in this program were just so great and inspiring. I said, all right, I'm sick of college. I want to go off and have a cultural experience. And so they sent me off to Indonesia, and that was the beginning of the whole journey that led me to become an interpreter. And one little piece you mentioned, the spiritual thing. Ever since I've been an adult, I've really been deeply committed to living in service to all beings. And I really opened myself to spiritual guidance so that I'm guided to whatever helps me most to both grow myself personally and help all around me to grow and move more fully into love and empowerment.
And I see that reflected, Fred, as well in your website work. The group of websites which you, I assume, started and managed, can you tell us a little bit about that? Because that's actually a lot of what I'd like to talk to you about.
Sure, that's jumping ahead quite a bit. I went off to Indonesia in 81, but that's okay. Basically, once I had my eyes opened, and we can maybe jump back to that, and saw that the world is totally not what I thought it was, and it was a huge eye-opener to me. That happened in 2001. I said, I got to find out what's going on in this world, and I started doing some serious research. And what I found is that there was a number of great websites covering various aspects of all that is being hidden. For instance, you know, there were some really good websites focused on UFOs. There were a couple focused on mind control, focused on 9/11. But I didn't see anybody doing what I felt like was a really good job of presenting reliable, verifiable information that could appeal to skeptics, that wouldn't be preaching to the choir who already knows about this stuff, but really opening people's eyes in a way that they can manage. And so I looked all over the internet, didn't see anybody doing that. I said, all right, if nobody's doing it, I got to do it. And that's how these websites got started. But I didn't want to just focus on all of the conspiracies. I really feel it's vitally important to really leave people feeling empowered and with hope, because I have no doubt that we will survive no matter what. I have no doubt that every one of us is a beautiful spiritual being deep inside, and when we open to that, the whole paradigm on the planet is going to shift. And so that's why I started a number of websites, one really focused on conspiracies, which is wanttoknow.info, which has gotten so popular, and a number of others all about various aspects of transformation and love and empowerment.
And that was probably good we put that at the front end, because you got your website out. Sometimes we lose that. Going back to, we'll kind of jump, take me where you want to go in terms of getting to 2001 and your awakening experience. What in 2001 triggered this sudden awareness?
Sure. Well, I'll share first. It's pretty interesting because my dad was kind of a conspiracy theorist with me growing up. He was actually a very liberal, progressive Methodist minister who would go out and block, you know, these warships with a canoe with a bunch of people trying to stop them off, and got arrested several times for civil disobedience. But I didn't buy into his conspiracy theories. I'm like, no way. I mean, because my dad was not real good at presenting the evidence in a way that was convincing. Plus, me and my dad didn't get along, so that helps, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So, basically, I was the debunker. You know, it's like, no, we're, you know, my dad believed that there was a small, relatively small group of men that controlled the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I don't believe that. And once I became an interpreter with, you know, eventually I went to Indonesia. I lived there, had a fantastic experience living with a Muslim family for a year. They became my adopted family. Then went off to China for 2 years and actually became fluent in Chinese and worked for a while as a Chinese interpreter. But when I got back from China in 86 is when I heard about the State Department job. And it was really a fun job where I got to take around top people from Indonesia and China at the time, who were given 1 month grants to come and do study tours of the United States. And I would travel with them, really fascinating people, and I got to learn about their field while I was interpreting for them. So, for instance, I knew nothing about law, and I had this lawyer from Taiwan, and I took him all around, and after a month, I knew a lot about law. So I got to be educated as I was working as an interpreter. Eventually, I moved up in the ranks in 1995, the first time I found myself in the White House, interpreting for Bill Clinton. And then by 2001, I had become the top Indonesian interpreter in the State Department, and actually interpreted for Bush in the White House just 8 days after 9/11, which was fascinating in itself. But all along, at least in the early years, I continued to be a bunker. I saw a few things. You know, I was a debunker, of course there's conspiracies. Everybody knows there's conspiracies, but I just did not believe the big conspiracies, you know, like UFOs and mind control, like that was... No, I couldn't buy that stuff. Mm-hmm. And even when I was working as a presidential interpreter, up until 2001, I had not seen anything that was strongly convincing of any kind of major conspiracy. But then what happened was a very cool friend of mine, really deep spiritual guy who lived in North Carolina, saw this video and he said, Fred, I want to send you this video. It changed my life, and I think it'll change yours, too. And so he mailed it to me, and it was Dr. Greer's, Stephen Greer's National Press Club video done in May of 2001, and I saw it in July. He mailed it out to me. I put that in, and I saw you're probably familiar with that
video. I'm very familiar with it, yes.
Yeah, probably, and many of your listeners are, too, who know about Stephen Greer, who, of course, is a mixed bag, but he has awakened many... I believe millions of people, including myself. Yes. So I am extremely grateful to him. But anyway, so you have 22 military and government officials, many of them high level, all testifying to their personal involvement in a UFO cover-up. And if it had just been two or three or four people, I think I would have gone, no, what is this? What's going on? But it was 22 people, the caliber of people that I had worked with in the State Department, who were mostly really good, honest people, all saying that they had been part of this UFO cover-up, and it was not in their own interest to share this stuff. So by the time the 2 hours was done, my jaw was literally on the floor, and I said, oh my God, if this is going on, what else is going on? And literally, in 2 hours, my entire view of the world completely changed. And in fact, so I started exploring around. And before long, and I really checked into, who is this guy, Stephen Greer? What's he doing? He actually ended up... Well, it was about 9 months later, he came out and talked in the San Francisco area where I live, and I went and listened to him, and he really impressed the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. And so I checked him out more thoroughly, and he was looking for a personal assistant at the time, and actually ended up contacting him and said, hey, you know, I actually matched a lot of what he was looking for in a personal assistant, and I actually flew back there, met the guy, interviewed, and we both came to a mutual agreement this was not a good idea. He was looking for a servant, I wasn't interested in being a servant. And so, but I still had tremendous respect for the guy, and he's the one who told me, all right, if you want to know what's really going on in the world, you got to go look at Mike Rupert's website from the wilderness. You got to read, I don't know what's the name of that book, Into the Buzzsaw, and told me a number of sources that he said I should go check out, and I did, and boy, he was right on. And so that really started me down the path. I had to call up my dad on the phone and say, Dad, I am so sorry. You were right all along about this conspiracy stuff, you know?
No, your father was probably of the generation like my dad. My dad was sort of a John Bircher in the sense that there was kind of a murky right-wing conspiracy thing going on. He wasn't extreme about it, but he made me aware of certain things. But the rabbit hole that you go into once you start to deal with the UFO conspiracy becomes very deep and very dark, because existentially everything that you ever believed goes on the table. And at the same time,
and it gets even deeper and harder when you go into mind control.
Mind control is one of the key areas that the two of them go together. Almost inevitably, anybody that deals, and this was my journey, I didn't need a lot of convincing about UFOs or what we would call extraterrestrials, just from my early life. But looking forward, I sort of had my wake-up call when I read Walter Boert's work in 1982, Operation Mind Control. And of course, Boert was kind of pivoting off of the work of Richard Condon, who wrote The Manchurian Candidate. Mm-hmm. And so at that time, I was becoming aware that there were programs out there. And this was kind of my entree into this murky world. There's no internet at this point. There's some underground circulated publications and some books. That's it. It wasn't until you got BBSs and dial-up in the mid to late 1980s that there was any activity in terms of connecting this information. But mind control, the UFO juggernaut, are deep, deep rabbit holes to go into. So tell me where that took you.
Well, it was incredible. I guess I should throw out, there's one really important piece. So before I had my eyes opened, not just like a month or so before I had my eyes opened, I'm a pretty deeply spiritual guy. I don't follow any particular religion, but I believe every one of us deep in our core is a beautiful divine being with infinite power and infinite potential. And I believe that my entire adult life.
We share.
And
that.
I do believe there are spirit guides that we can communicate with.
Yes.
And so I'd done a lot of work on myself, personal growth type work. And about a month before all this happened, I sent out a prayer and I said, all right, I think I'm ready. And I said, I called it spirit. That's my short term for, you know, whatever you want to call it, God, that is the most correct term. I said, I'm ready. I'm ready to look at the deepest, darkest places. And I don't want it all at once, but I'm ready to really start looking at this. And please help me. And it wasn't long, like I said, before I started getting all these things, boom, boom, boom. And so that really put me on this path. And interesting, you know, most people come in through 9/11 or energy or you know, health, these type of things. But for me, I came in through the UFO cover-up. But then before long, and thanks partially to Stephen Greer, I got into the mind control stuff. And I saw, oh, my God, this stuff is, like, really disturbing. And this is the most powerful manipulative stuff. Now, of course, you and I probably know, and most of your listeners, that the ETs are involved in the mind control stuff.
Yeah.
So some factions of them, at least.
Yes.
And so when I started, and the book that took me into it, I do not recommend for skeptics, and I only recommend it to people who are really deep into it, but it was Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips' book, Transformation of America.
Yeah.
And I read that book, and that shook me to the core, and I said, if this is true, and I wasn't certain at the time, I said, we're really in trouble. And so I started checking it out because she had given all these leads, but they're very difficult. She said, look at the birthmark on President Clinton in, under his trousers. It's like, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that.
I'm glad you brought that up. Now, you've probably sat across the table from Bill Clinton as you did with George W. Bush. What is your takeaway reading a book like Transformation and looking back in retrospect at the living human beings that you were interacting with? I'm interested in how that kind of flew in your face. Was there a visceral reaction?
No. I think I have to tell you, there's a way I feel like on a spirit level, I was prepared for all of this.
Okay.
So where some people literally, I could tell them stuff and they'd throw up literally if they knew that this was real and I could show them that.
Mm-hmm.
We could go into it, but it's a whole nother story that I could handle this stuff. I can handle the deepest, darkest stuff. And so at the time when I was working with Clinton, Clinton was incredibly friendly and sharp. He was intelligent.
Very charismatic man, yes.
Very charismatic. He knew there's 20-something secretaries that work in the White House. He knew the names of the kids of every single secretary. Mm-hmm. And he'd stop at each one and say, hey, how's you doing? And how's your kid so-and-so? And how's your kid so-and-so? And everybody just loved him. It was really amazing how the people around him cared for him. And yet, of course, I also saw how his chief advisor would just hound him all the time. He was being hounded by all these people who wanted his attention. And I saw how the president was manipulated, not sort of in the way we're talking about mind control, but just by who was surrounding him all the time. This is what you learn.
Yeah,
on a day-to-day basis, when you work with the president, you see how his life is controlled by those who plan his schedule. People think the president has so much time. He doesn't have time to figure out what's going on. He gets his schedule handed to him every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he may, depending on how strong he is, like Bush was very weak, George W. Bush, he'd just do whatever they told him. And he literally would say sometimes, I heard him say to him, so what do you want me to do now? Mm-hmm. Clinton was never like that. Clinton was more like, he's somebody who'd say, okay, no, this is not going to work. We need to change this. So that was interesting to see. And that's how I saw how the presidents were under a lot of pressure. Once I started realizing the whole mind control thing, and I became convinced that, I'm from all the signs, Bill Clinton came from definitely some of those mind control programs. And it's like, and I could understand, for instance, that would give the photographic memory. You may know that those who go in at a young age, which I suspect he did, to these mind control programs, they're programmed to have photographic memory.
Yes.
So suddenly, that makes sense. And
they're also programmed.
A number of things. So it actually, some things.
Yeah, their personalities are basically able to transform to given situations and their skills along with it. They're very adaptive because each component. And I've interviewed a lot of people who have been in mind control projects. I have a personal friend, Duncan O'Finian, who done extensive work with over the last couple of years, who has opened up all kinds of, stories and insights into MKUltra. So, on the surface, we probably encounter people who have been in programs and projects on some level of our lives daily, not maybe every day, but we encounter them and we don't recognize them. And that's
there's many more out there than most people know.
Yeah. There was I don't know how aware you are of Project Talent and what went on in public schools during the 1960s and the 1970s.
I have a personal informer who was a deep cover CIA agent who was put through that program, and he told me all about it.
Yeah, they were literally recruiting out of the public school system.
Yes.
And
in the 50s and 60s, they would see who was smart, who had some psychic abilities. They'd put them in these special school programs.
Yep. Oops, we had a video glitch there. So, anyway.
we're talking about Project Talent. And yes, literally my informer, who's a brilliant man and would prefer not to have his name mentioned here, but he does some really great work. And he says, he believes it's somewhere on the order of 50 to 100,000 kids at least went through that program.
Yeah. I've met some of them. I've had a lot of background conversations with people who have been through the projects. I have reason to believe that I was tested as part of those projects as well.
Well, everybody was tested.
Everybody was qualified,
right?
Right.
I mean, all those tests that we did as kids, you're of the same generation I am. I'm 55.
Mm-hmm.
And those, you know, we all did those intelligence tests or whatever they called them, you know?
Yeah. And there were tests beyond those intelligent tests and the linguistic tests and even the mechanical skills tests that a lot of people remember. So, you know, at a basic level, this was actually them reaching into an easy access pool of subjects to find their next generation.
Yes. Yeah.
So in understanding that, how did you get to the place where you were able to begin connecting the ET? I call it a juggernaut because to me, it's not one thing. We're dealing with kind of a multi-headed beast in a lot of ways in dealing both with the mind control and with the extraterrestrials. What is your understanding of that today, Fred, in terms of how that all works together?
Well, it's, you know, what I tell people is understanding the details, it's infinitely complex, and you can get lost searching down these side trails, and you can be pulled off from the truth because there are all sorts of booby traps to take you down false pathways. But what I'll tell you, the core to me comes down, every group that is out there, for instance, no matter how bad or evil a group may be, there are some good people in there. Every person has good and bad in them.
Yes.
Every organization, the ET, some groups are much more beneficial or positive and others are much more selfish, self-centered.
Yes.
And so what I have found is that it's infinitely complex. Yes, there are certain ET groups that are using mind control in really disempowering ways. At the same time, there are other ET groups, and then there are even these non-embodied beings, higher level expanded beings that are watching over it all, that are not, I believe, they're not going to let us destroy ourselves and destroy this experiment that we live in, this game.
Yeah, I believe they've actually prevented that a few times.
Many times. Yes. I don't think it's just a few. I think it's actually many times. There's some pretty dramatic examples you probably know of.
And in recent years, we've seen a number of them. Missiles that didn't launch, guns that didn't fire.
And yet it's still going on. You know, and what I'm sensing, though, and I'd be curious if many of, because I'm pretty well tapped into certain groups exploring this stuff, and many of us felt like around 2006 or so, the energy really started shifting, and it's like, whoa, it seems like, for lack of a better word, the dark forces are really losing their grip. Yeah. And ever since then, it seems like people are waking up, and the internet has provided this facility that it's impossible now for certain powers, factions of the powers that be, to stop the disclosure. It's, you know, it's just a matter of time.
Disclosure itself is an interesting subject, and I know Dr. Greer talks about this. There's huge groups out there that have talked about disclosure. You know, to me, disclosure is kind of a limited term because it assumes that we need a UFO flyover or landing on the White House lawn.
Absolutely.
But really, you know, and I've said this to a number of people that I've worked with over the years, we have actually had disclosure. Some of us have had disclosure on a very personal level.
Yes. And anybody who really wants to, all they have to do, I believe, they put out that prayer or intention or whatever it is, and they will get the truth. I've had people email me from our websites. You opened my eyes. I wanted to know the truth. Some of them said, I did the same thing. I wanted to know the truth. Somebody typed in, I just got a letter last week. They sent me a letter and a $250 check for our work, and it said, I Googled hidden knowledge.
Nice. Yes.
And I found your stuff, and it changed my life, and it's disturbing, and I'm so glad I know. So anybody who wants to know now can have their own disclosure. It's not about a mass disclosure.
No, the mass disclosure is actually occurring as we speak.
Yes.
It's been going on for a long time.
Long time, yes.
Even the motion picture industry, you know, and Steven Spielberg's been all over the map on this. Close Encounters of the Third Kind was, for me, kind of a... I cried in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I realized at that point, we're going to wake up to this. We're going to know it.
Absolutely.
But the idea of disclosure is this grand event. I think the grand event is what's been occurring to human consciousness over, you picked 2006. I'd actually gauge it pretty close to that myself. The energy shifting.
Yeah.
What did you get out of the 2012, when we passed through December 21st, 2012? Energetically, did you have a sense that we passed a milestone of any sort during that period of time, Fred?
I see it very much like the harmonic convergence, which I believe was it 87?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the harmonic convergence, all these people, because there was this alignment of the stars, is extremely rare. All these people were convinced it was going to be a major, major event.
Yeah.
And from the third dimensional viewpoint, there wasn't much change.
No.
From an energetic viewpoint, I believe there was a significant change. It wasn't as huge as some people were predicting, but it was quite significant. And I've seen the solstice of 2012 all along as being the same thing. I have tons of friends who believe something major was going to happen. I say, well, don't be surprised. And I've been saying that from day one that I learned about this stuff. Don't be surprised if nothing happens third dimensionally. And I didn't see anything significant.
No, I didn't either.
But as far as extra-dimensionally, I think people, it is accelerating. And the amount of people who are focused on wanting that transformation creates another major ripple that gets sent out and takes it to another level.
I'm sure that given the traffic on your website and the amount of information that you're putting out, you're probably interacting with people who are encountering your information, interacting with it, and it's triggering in them this kind of almost like spontaneous thing that happens. I get it from people from time to time who begin to look at my work.
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden they go, oh my God, all this stuff makes sense now.
Yes.
And so in a lot of ways, we're advocates for consciousness that's unfolding and evolving right now.
Yes.
Just by sharing this. Your websites... talk a little bit about what you're doing there. How did you come to do the websites? You were still with the State Department when you began this, right?
That's right. Yep, I actually worked with the State Department, already was communicating with deep insiders, and some of them were slipping me information even when I was on a trip with
Preston. Oh, you really are a whistleblower then.
Cool. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. One, I don't know if you know, I ended up on the front page of the Wall Street Journal.
I do know that, yes.
Being a whistleblower, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's what I sense is that... well, for me, I really got very clear. Ever since I was a kid, I felt like I had this deep feeling, I'm here to do something.
Yeah.
And it's something important, and I don't even know what it is. And I felt that my whole life, and I said, well, as long as I don't know what it is, I'm just going to keep doing what feels like the right thing to do. And it was only after watching the Greer video, the National Disclosure Project video, and finding out this other stuff, well, this is it. I absolutely had no doubt this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I am part of a huge team, which includes you, Randy, includes many of your listeners, and anybody who wants to be on this team. We're here to help people wake up.
Yeah.
And all it is that all you have to do is you want to know. If you want to know what's going on, which is where I got the name from the website, wanttoknow.info, if you want to know, you just start Googling, and you're going to start finding out, or you start asking around. And so, but again, the key, as I mentioned earlier in the interview, is I don't want to scare people. That is not the intention at all. Mm-hmm. Now, this doesn't mean some people aren't going to get scared. They will, and they may get angry. But the purpose, and I make this very clear all the time, the purpose is not that. The purpose is to awaken us to want to be more conscious, because it's when we're unconscious of all this stuff that then it can really grow and fester. And so that's what I'm excited about, is this ever-growing team of people who want to know, who want to be conscious of both the good and the bad inside ourselves and out in the world, and who realize that it's all part of a grand game. Sort of, it's the divine exploring itself. You know, and once you understand that we're all fragments of the divine, looking at itself through different sets of eyes and exploring dark and light, the dance of dark and light, and that the dark is not necessarily always bad, nor is the light always good.
That's right.
And in fact, on the deepest levels, it's all divine. But you really got to be clear that you can't just go and say, when somebody's about to go and kill or rape somebody, oh, everything's divine, just let it happen. It's not about that at all. It's about knowing in each moment what feels like just the right and genuine thing to do in that moment. And you can stop somebody from murdering or from raping and completely stop the behavior and yet still realize that person in their core is a divine being that has gotten twisted through the way they were brought up.
Yeah.
As I'm sure you know, there are these generational abuse victims where there's satanic cults that raise their kids. They're cursed from the moment the sperm unites with the egg. They are cursed to be part of this, whatever it is. We could talk about that as a whole other thing.
It is another thing.
If you grew up with that, of course you're going to be messed up. And yet I totally believe and know in my world that those are divine beings. And they're all playing their role in the grand play.
Well, you've seen people escape from those families as well.
Yes.
There's some high profile. There's some who are not so well known. I know a few of them who have, just by dint of fact that consciousness is expanded and they are awakening, have this moment where they realize they need to break away from the generational curses and break away from the abuse that was part of their lifestyle.
Yes.
And some of these people come from very wealthy, high-profile families.
That's right.
That these people need compassion. They need somebody who can reach out to them and begin to display love and light to them.
Right.
And that's why, you know, I felt kind of kindred soul. And by the way, I need to say thanks to Mike Clellan over at Hidden Experience.
Mike's awesome.
Mike, you rock. Mike made our intro. And as I began to go through your material on your websites, Fred, I felt, again, a kindred spirit, a common purpose, because it's real important that given the amount of deep information that we present, we also balance that with the spiritual side. And that's what I've tried to do as well.
Absolutely. And if I can just plug in there for a moment, for those who are interested, I actually manage now 12 websites. And if you want to look at, we have a home website that's called, our nonprofit organization is called PEERS. Mm-hmm. It stands for Public Education and Empowerment Resource Service. And if you go to www.peerservice, PEERSERVICE.org, you can see all the websites, and there's free online courses. There's all sorts of great stuff to get support for you to handle the most disturbing information and not ignore it, but also to be inspired. There's so many great things going on in this world. Just us talking right here, I think, is an amazing thing. So take a look at peerservice.org.
That's you have an amazing number of resources on these sites. I know I went over to your site, I subscribed to your email newsletter, and that's fantastic, just getting that. That kind of keeps percolating the new information that's coming out.
Right.
I know you're also publishing as a columnist on a couple of websites, is that correct? Have I seen your articles around?
Well, basically, yes, I take the same information that I send out to the email list, and I post it, for instance, to examiner.com.
That's where I saw it,
news website. And there's a couple other little places occasionally. I tend to not write new stuff for other ones, but I'll reproduce stuff from our website and put it onto other websites.
Yeah. So you've got a wealth of information on this website, and it really integrates nicely the journey that you've gone through and the journey that I think a lot of other people have gone through as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the clock. I want to honor your time commitment tonight. So maybe here would just say, and first off, at the beginning of the show tonight, I thanked my listeners because they really came through for me. I know that right now you're fundraising for peers and you need funds as well. And I just want to underscore to listeners, this is important stuff. It's not government funded. It's not funded by corporations. It's done by people like us who care enough to do this kind of work, support it. It's important. That's my PBS fundraiser moment, by the way.
Thank you very much. That's very kind of you. And, you know, I love the donations are vital. It's really great. And I don't need that. What I really want from people is I want you to go look and see what's there. If you feel inspired to donate, awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
But the most powerful thing you can do is share this information with those who are open. And the thing I think that distinguishes wanttoknow.info from the other websites out there is we present it at a level that skeptics can digest. You know, I find a lot of people are doing really good work, but they just put too much out there, and it psychologically shuts people down. You know, people who are skeptics, they hear the word conspiracy theory and they immediately shut their rational mind. For all that is a sad thing, it's true. So we avoid on wanttoknow.info using the word conspiracy. I always talk about cover-ups or, you know, things that are being hidden, because we know conspiracy is a trigger word for skeptics.
Yes.
So our website, wanttoknow.info, is particularly good for your skeptical friends. Say, hey, why don't you just go take a look at this and look at the homepage yourself, and you'll see it's designed for skeptics. And we've had a lot of success. We've woken up some pretty big names. I'm sure you know David Ray Griffin, the founder of one of the chief spokespersons of the 9/11 movement.
9/11.
He originally had his eyes open through our website, and he and I became friends through that.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of other people have had their eyes open. So help your skeptical friends to open their eyes. Don't say, hey, you have to look at this. Just say, hey, you might want to look at this if you have any openness. You know, the more pressure you have on someone to do something, the more they're going to tend to go, whoa, dude, back off. You know, that's what I did. You know, I had people trying to convince me it was a conspiracy. My own housemate when in 2001 was a conspiracy theorist, and he's another one I had to apologize to.
Well, you know, it's not a conspiracy if you can prove it's true, and your information on your website provides deeper levels of research. You did the wet work on the background material to the degree that somebody can read it and approach it from a level that touches up here and then eventually gets to here as well.
Right.
And Fred, I hope we get a chance to talk again in the near future. I'd like to do maybe a more focused interview at some point, but I appreciate you coming on today and sharing your information, and we'll get together again soon, I hope.
Great. I'd love to. You know, I apologize I don't have more time right now.
No, that's
visiting my sister, so yeah.
Absolutely. We're going to close it out. This is Off Planet Radio. I'm Randy Moggins. My guest today, Fred Burtz. Links will be up with the video on the website. Truth is out there. It's inside you. Keep looking for it. Good night.
This is Off Planet Radio.